You are listening to The Shtender with Rabbi Michael Knopf, a JCast Network podcast. For more information about Rabbi Knopf, please visit mikeknopf.com. For more information about the other JCast Network podcasts and blogs, please visit jcastnetwork.org.
So the story is told of twin babies that are in the womb, and they start having a conversation with each other. And one baby says to the other, "So, what do you think?" Even Batman sometimes has that moment. So the story is told of two babies who are in a womb, twins, and they start to talk to each other. One baby says to the other baby, "What do you think exists outside of this place?" And the second baby says, "What do you mean what exists outside of this place? All there is womb. All there is this place." And the other baby says, "Really? You don't think that there's anything outside? You don't think that there's anything beyond the world that we know?" And the other baby says, "How could there be anything beyond the world that we know? In here, we know how to see only in the dark. Our eyes are closed. It's dark in here. It's comfortable. It's cool. It's nice." And the other baby says, "What if outside of here there's a world that's all light? And our eyes are open, and we can see by virtue of the light." And the second baby says, "That's crazy. What's more crazy is, when we're in here, we are surrounded by this beautiful, buoyant liquid. And we breathe internally by virtue of the liquid. If we're outside of here, how would we be able to breathe?" And the other baby says, "I heard maybe outside of here there will be air, and we'll breathe with our mouths and our noses and fill the air into our lungs and breathe out." And the second baby says, "That's insanity. How could that possibly be? How could that possibly work? And even more than that, in here, we're fed directly through this tube. We don't have to want for anything to eat. We don't have to search for any kind of food. How will we eat when we are in, if we were outside of this place?" And the other baby says, "Maybe we'd eat with our mouths." And the second baby says, "No, mouths, that's insanity. How can you eat with your mouth? You eat through the tube. Where would the food come from?" And the other baby says, "The food would come from mother." And this other baby says, "Mother? You believe in mother? What a crazy fantasy, believing in mother. How do you know that there's a mother outside of this place? I don't see her. I don't feel her. All there is darkness and liquid and two." The story is a little bit fantastic, of course, and often it's used as, I think, a really beautiful explanation of belief in God and in such a thing as a world to come. Many of us, I think, struggle with this idea that there is something, that there is life, that there is existence, that there's being beyond the world that we know, beyond the life that we know. And the story challenges us, I think, to consider that there might be a world that we can't even fathom and comprehend that exists beyond the world that's observable and quantifiable to us. How do we know that what exists here and what exists now is all that there is and all that there can be? The Jewish tradition believes in two things. It believes in what's called Olam Hazeh, this world, and it believes in what we call Olam Haba, which means the next world, or the world to come, or the world that is coming. Now, there are different ways to think of the concepts of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba, this world and the world to come, one of which is that we live in this world, this is life, the world to come is heaven, is the afterlife, what happens after we die. Another way of thinking of those terms, Olam Hazeh, this world, and Olam Haba, the next world, or the world to come, is that we live in a certain kind of existence, a certain kind of world right now, but eventually, in due time, it may not happen tomorrow, it may not happen next week, it may not happen in the next century, it may not happen in the next millennium, but at some point, there will be a new world, a new order. And where this world is marked with darkness and constriction and oppression and injustice and violence and war, there is a world that is yet to come that will be all light and all compassion and all love and all peace. And in the Jewish consciousness, this is not a fantasy. This is not a pipe dream. We believe that there is a world that we live in right now, but we also believe that it is not the only world that can possibly exist. And we believe that it's not the only world that will possibly exist. There's a new world coming, a better world. So our Torah portion today talks about twins, Jacob and Esau, who were born, as Jacob told us, to the patriarch and matriarch Rebekah and Isaac. The Jewish tradition sees these twins not only as historical figures, but as spiritual paradigms. And we know that Esav, who is described in the Torah portion as a person of the field, a person who hunts, a person with material tastes and a thirst for violence, and Jacob is a person who is Ish Tam Yoshev Ohalim, a simple person, a pure person who dwells in tents, who studies Torah, who spends his time in peaceful pursuits, engaging wisdom and love. Those are the two figures, the two twins. Couldn't be more different, couldn't be more opposite. And yet, in the Torah portion, we learn that Esau, that hunting, gathering brother, is the firstborn, and Jacob is the secondborn. And the Midrash says, Lama yatsa Esav Rishon. So why was Esav born first? Lefi shenachal Esav et ha'olam hazeh, shehu Rishon min ha'olam haba, shekodem le'olam haba. Esav was born first because it was Esav's inheritance. Esav represents the spiritual paradigm of this world. This is a world of materialism. This is a world of violence. This is a world of the pursuit of our passions and our lusts. And so Esav is born first because he represents this world. And this world comes first. But then Jacob is born. Uchadei shiyipara mimenu HaKadosh Baruch Hu shehu rishon v'acharon. And what is ultimately going to happen, the Midrash teaches, that God is eventually going to take this world away from Esau and give it to the spiritual paradigm of Jacob, who represents peace and love and wisdom and light. Because this world comes first, but there is another world that is coming. And as you read the Torah portion further, you hear as Jacob explained to us in his Devar Torah that there is a trickery that happens, that Jacob convinces Esau to sell his birthright to him. And he uses an interesting phrase when he sells the birthright. He says, Vayomer Yaakov, Mikra Chayom et Bechoratecha Li. Sell me like today your birthright. And the rabbi is asked, why does he say like today? Why does he just say, today, sell me your birthright? And the rabbis say, because he doesn't mean, give me your birthright today. Give me the inheritance of the world today. He's saying, kehayo, like a day. Like a day in the eyes of God, which is 1,000, maybe 1,000,000 years. Give me a day later where I will inherit this world that right now belongs to you. Because the world as it exists belongs to Esau, but the world that is coming belongs to Jacob. I thought about this paradigm of this world and the next world this week when we learned of the horrible tragedy, the terrorist attack that occurred in Jerusalem, where Palestinian militants entered into a synagogue in Har Nof outside of Jerusalem during morning prayers and killed 4 people as they worshipped. A 5th person, a Druze citizen of Israel who was a police officer, died in his attempt to apprehend and bring the culprits to justice. 5 people, innocent people, died in a horrible attack. No more striking example, perhaps, than that we still live in the world of Esau. We still live in a world of darkness and violence and oppression and war. But then a couple of things happen. The first is that a friend of mine, a rabbi in Connecticut named David Sager, posted on Facebook an incredible article. And he put it with the caption saying, "This has been a hard week. Good thing our world is becoming more peaceful." And with it, he showed a graph describing the amount of war and violence, the possibility that you, each of us individually, would have died in some kind of violent attack from the Middle Ages or from the ancient world until now. And you wouldn't believe it by watching the television. But our world is far and away more peaceful than any previous generation, any previous world that has ever existed. We are closer in our time to the ideal of peace than human history has ever been. If you lived even half a century ago, your odds of dying in some kind of war or violence were twice or 3 times the possibility that they are now. Think about the fact that really only half a century, 3/4 of a century ago, was World War II, when hundreds of thousands and millions of people died violent deaths. And think about the world that we live in today, where even in the most brutal of wars, not that many people die. Every death is a tragedy, do not get me wrong. But the odds that you will die a violent death are minuscule compared to what they would have been 500 years ago. And I think about the discrepancy between the world of Esau and the world of Jacob because of what happened after the terrorist attack, where the families of the victims issued a statement saying that in the wake of this tragedy, what we want to encourage every Jew and every Jewish community to do is to practice acts of unity and unprecedented acts of love. Do not turn to hate. Do not turn to despair. Move from this painful and tragic experience to bring more love, to bring more light, to bring more peace into the world. And it struck me at that moment that we may, at this moment, still be living in this world, the world of Esau, but there is yet a world of Jacob to come. And we are moving in that direction. And if each of us take responsibility, we can move even further and faster in that direction. That's the promise and the ideal of Judaism, that the world to come isn't just coming sometime eventually, that each of us has the capacity to make this world a better place. In statistics, they say that correlation does not equal causation, right? So this is a correlation here. I'm not arguing that it's a causation. but the peacefulness of the world has risen since the advent of the State of Israel. Since 1948, the world has become a more peaceful, less violent place. Despite all the people who will make the argument, all the anti-Semites in the world will say that the Jews are responsible for all the wars in the world, as Mel Gibson liked to say, that people who might blame Jews and Israel for terrorist attacks, what they don't realize is that Jews, I deeply believe, and this week's attacks solidified to me, are intimately involved and play a leading role in helping make this world a better, more peaceful place, help bring us closer to Olam Haba, the world to come, the age of Jacob. I saw this week a Mexican proverb that I want to share with you. The proverb said, "They tried to bury us. They didn't realize that we were seeds." And so with that, we can learn that any time we encounter the pain, the darkness, the oppression, the injustice, the violence of living in this world of Aesop, know that any time we try to get that we are, the people try to bury us, remember that you are a seed. They might try to bury us, people might try to bury us with oppression. We are seeds of justice, and we can flourish and blossom into cedars of righteousness. They might try to bury us with darkness. We are seeds of light that can blossom into great light into the world. They try to bury us with violence. We are seeds of peace that can grow into flourishing grapevines of beautiful and expansive and encompassing peace in the world. The world as it is isn't necessarily the world as it ought to be or the world as it will be. And every time there is oppression and violence and hate poured upon us, each of us in this room, we have the capacity to put back out in the world an advancement of the age of Jacob, the world to come. A world in the vision of the prophets, where the wolf will lie down with the lamb, and the lion will nestle with a suckling babe. A time when people will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. When nation will not lift up sword against nation, and neither will they learn war anymore. Shabbat Shalom.